So today we're going to talk about getting the leaven out. Exodus 12, 15, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Yum, yum, yum. Indeed, on the first day you shall cause leaven to cease from your houses. So next Sunday, Saturday night at sundown, at Sunday morning, there shouldn't be any leaven in your houses. And for 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your homes, according to verse 19. And 13:7 says, unleavened bread is to be eaten the 7 days, and whatever is leaven is not to be seen with you. So don't even hang out with leavened people. And leaven is not to be seen within all of your borders. All of your borders. By these verses and others, we see that God requires that we remove leaven from our homes and even all the way out to our borders prior to Passover, and not to bring back any until the 7 days of unleavened bread are completed. During this period, we're not to eat that which is leavened. Leavened is in Hebrew the word chametz. Everybody, chametz. Got all wet, my neighbor, from spitting that word out. Yeah, Jewish words involve a lot of spit. What does this mean to us? It means that in preparation for Pesach, or Passover, we are to search out our whole dwelling places, even to our borders. You have borders? And to get the leaven out. Traditionally, the evening before Passover, except this year, Jewish families make a game out of the search with their children, looking everywhere in the house, using a candle that brings light and into unusually dark places, even sweeping crumbs out of a pantry corners with a feather onto a wooden spoon. It's a lot of fun. Try that. I mean, it's really hard to get the feather to move the crumbs onto a wooden spoon. You know, they should probably make a TV show like Beat the Clock and have you do that. So what is leaven? Biblically, it seems to be specifically yeast. Yeast. To which ferments or sours something else. As we are commanded to specifically eat unleavened bread during this time, leaven would seem to speak to that which leavens bread or bread products. Again, we call that yeast. Y'all know what yeast is? Traditionally, not only bread or other products made with yeast are considered leaven, but any grain items that rise or expand or might expand when mixed with water. Therefore, any grain, wheat, rye, barley, oats, and spelt that comes into contact with water for more than 18 minutes is considered chametz. There is even a special matzah that is kosher for Passover because it is guarded all the way from harvesting to packaging to make sure it does not get wet prematurely. So not all matzah is good for Passover. Just because you got some matzah don't mean it's right. And it's placed in the oven within 18 minutes of the dough being mixed. You got to work fast in this world. Just in case any wild, free, floating yeast spores found their way into the mixture, into the flour. Man, and then Ashkenazic Jews even consider rice and corn and peanuts and any other vegetables in the pea family as chametz. Of course, Sephardic Jews don't. So you have all this difference of opinion. You get two Jews, you got three opinions. And so that's where some of that comes out. And I'm an Ashkenazic Jew who thinks it's okay to eat rice and corn and peanuts, but not other stuff. So I don't agree with all the other Ashkenazic Jews, and I'm not a Sephardic Jew, so what am I? Rebel. Yeah, pasta. Okay, pasta. How many of you like pasta? God, you can't go to Valentino's during Passover. Although not made with yeast, is traditionally considered chametz, not biblical. You could go to any Italian biblical restaurant and eat pasta, but you can't go to a traditional Italian restaurant, I guess. During the days of unleavened bread, matzah meal is used in all the recipes normally requiring flour or bread products. You can make pasta with matzah, I guess. Matzah meal. This is already cooked matzah. It is broken up or it's in powdered form. Again, the biblical commandment seems to be only specifically against yeast, or could be argued baking powder or any other outside agent that is introduced to food to make it rise. You can decide if it means more. I'm not going to argue with you. You know, I'm just going to tell you what it says. If you need to consult a rabbi, don't ask me. Obviously, God is trying to teach us a very valuable spiritual lesson in this commandment, as each year we search out to remove every speck of leavening from our household. There's more to it than just physically doing it. It means something. And that meaning is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 6 and 8, lets us know that a little leaven, and in Corinthians, leaven is sin. Ooh, bad stuff. Leavens the whole lump. And therefore, we should keep the Passover. Please note that Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul, tells us to keep the feast. He says, you have to keep these feasts. Don't do your own thing. And he kept the feast. Not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. By commanding us to search out the leaven, God wants to teach us about searching out and purging sin from our lives. How about that? You think it was just looking for a bunch of breadcrumbs, but it's about sin. It is not sin an outside agent that is introduced in order to ferment or sour that which is pure? Isn't that what sin is? In earlier generations, they did not have anywhere as many food products as we have today. Neither did they have sin coming into their lives in so many different shiny packages. They didn't. Search through your cabinets and refrigerator. Look at all the labels and get the chametz out. It's in the products you wouldn't even think about. Yeah, it's all there, man. There's tons of it. But if you stop there, you miss the whole point. When you're finished keeping this commandment in the physical, move it up to the spiritual. What would Emerald say? Turn it up a notch. Search your heart. Check it completely in order to find and remove all the sin from your life. When you do so, and you recognize all that sin that snuck in, or let's face it, it was kind of brought in, wasn't it? Didn't really sneak in. You let it come in, didn't you? Since the last cleaning, repent, turn from it, and ask for forgiveness from God in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Then you will be considered clean enough to keep the Passover, the Seder meal, and have the right relationship with God through the Lamb of Elohim, who takes away the sin of the world. And although we are permitted to again eat leavened bread after 7 days, why would you? After you get rid of sin, why would you want it to come back into your house? Don't make any sense, but we're allowed after 7 days, and everybody's just chomping at the teeth for a bagel, aren't they? Ooh, it's the last day of Passover. What are we going to do when it gets dark? We're going to Panera Bread. Man, I can't wait to start sinning again. Been in this cloistered monastery for 7 days, and now it's time to sin. It's time to sin again. Don't ever. Never mind. And though we are permitted to eat, we have the option. We have the option to bring chametz back into our houses and within our borders. It doesn't mean we have to. You could continue with your matzah. Because certainly on a spiritual level, God would hope that the purging of sin in our lives, he doesn't think it's a temporary process. To him, it's forever. He wants you to do it forever. So how long does God want you to eat matzah? Forever. The day after the Passover meal begins what we call the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first day of that is the 15th day of the month of Nisan. And the seventh day, the 21st day of Aviv, are that God commanded Shabbats that we're to keep. No work is to be done. The in-between days are not a Sabbath, and work is to be done. This year, they're all on Sundays, so you're off anyway, right? So you got an escape clause this year. But some years, you actually physically have to take off from work, and a lot of people don't do that. Beginning with the evening of the 14th of the first month and continuing until the evening of the 21st day, we are to remember the Exodus and our people from Egypt. It actually works out to be 8 days, doesn't it? By the mighty hand of God, by only eating unleavened bread, no chametz. If we don't, Scripture warns that soul shall be cut off from Israel. You'll be cut off. And even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. So all of us have this problem. Truly, our redemption is through our Messiah, who is our Passover lamb, according to 1 Corinthians 5:7. But like with all the other Moedim, the set-apart days, the appointed times, through the Torah, God gives us instructions to carry out certain actions regularly, so that we could be continually reminded on a yearly basis, or even a weekly by the Shabbat, how wonderful he is to deliver us. That's what you should be proclaiming today. It is so wonderful that God delivered us because we have Shabbat. Every Passover, by physically following God's commandments regarding leaven, he teaches us the spiritual lesson of searching out and purging sin from our lives. You should do this all the time. Get a candle, stick it in your body. Get the sin out. Well, that's hot. Because getting ourselves free from the bondage of sin is the true meaning of deliverance. It's not just a movie with John Voight and Burt Reynolds. It is deliverance is something from God, right? So now that we have done something that most of the world doesn't, guess what? Most of the world doesn't do this. In fact, even the Jewish people don't do what we do, because we're special. That is, separate Passover and unleavened bread into separate, command apart, set apart times for God. We set them apart as two different days. Jews just say Passover is 7 days long. Is it? Now that we won't anymore call this time of the year the 8 days of Passover, we're not going to call them that, right? We can look deeper at what God is trying to teach us. How many days is the Passover holiday? One. I just said we're going to separate. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is how long? Seven. So how much is seven plus one? How much is one plus seven? God. Of course, Passover signifies our deliverance. God commands us to keep the Passover and remember to teach our children that we were once slaves. And now we are free. As believers, we know that Yeshua is our Passover, and it was by his sacrificial atonement that death passes us by. But what about unleavened bread? What does that do? Consider this. Passover is just an event, from killing the lamb to eating it, but unleavened bread is an entire 7-day period. Torah has no exclamation points, bold type, or italics in it. When God wants to make a strong point, what does he do? He uses repetition. While worldly or Greek thinking would consider yearly holidays like Passover or Yom Kippur more hallowed because of their rareness than the weekly Shabbat, the Hebraic mind sees that when God has us do something every week, it's like more important. 52 times more important, one could say, than something we're only supposed to do once a year. Similarly, according to Isaiah 6:3, the seraphim cry, what? Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Holy, holy, holy. Repeating 3 times as the ultimate emphasis of how set apart God truly is. They're number 3 again. Look up scripture passages that discuss God's instructions regarding unleavened bread and see how many times he tells us to get and keep the leaven out. It seems a clear and simple instruction, one that is easily understood on the first reading And yet God delivers it again and again. I'm just going to batter this off. Exodus 12, 8, 15, 17, 18, 20, 39, 13, 6, and 7, 23, 15, 34, 18, Leviticus 23, 6, Numbers 28, 17, Deuteronomy 16, 3, 8, and 16. How many times does God need to tell us that there is to be a season called the Feast of Unleavened Bread? And explain that we are not to eat, guess what, any leavened bread during the feast, which, by the way, just in case you weren't paying attention, is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Think this is important to God? Seems like it is. Why? There's a very interesting thing about yeast. You need yeast to make yeast. In order to have yeast to make bread dough, you must retain a lump of raw dough with yeast in it. When you make up some new dough, you take a piece of the dough with the yeast in it and add it to the new dough. As we know, a little leaven leavens the entire lump, right? You don't need to add much to your new dough to get it to leaven, but you do need some. Without retaining this lump of dough to culture your leaven in, you have no leaven to leaven any new dough. Hope you see where I'm going. When you clear all the leaven out of your house, how much leaven do you have? Huh? Nada. That's a good word. It's Spanish for none. It's impossible unless you go to some other source, someone who has retained leaven in his or her lump, and get some from them. Go to the leaven store. Leavens are us. It's in Oakview Mall. Remember, God requires us to get rid of our leaven and keep it out of the house for 7 days. But when the 7 days are over and we are, it seems, or it is just an assumption, permitted to once again bring the sin back at leaven into our house, we are not commanded to do so. We are not commanded to do so. He doesn't say go do it. Think about it. If Israel really had to clear out all the leaven and keep away from it for 7 days, that means they were required to leave Egypt without any what? Leaven. Now, maybe there was a little leaven stand by the Red Sea. I don't know. Was there? Little guy selling leaven. If this was practiced by everyone, where did they get the leaven out there in the desert after the 7 days were up? If Israel truly kept God's commands, then they would have been free from leaven throughout their desert journey, and golly, even today in Israel, there would be no leaven, because they wouldn't have brought it with them. And since they were to take no spoils from any of the nations they defeated, they would not have been able to acquire leaven from them also. Israel would have been a leaven-free people. But let's face it, God knew better. He knew they weren't going to do that. He knows we would seek out leaven and bring it back into our houses because we crave bagels, don't we? That's why he has a perpetual commandment, so that we have to clean it back out every year. He knows we're going to not listen to him. Baruch Hashem, he is smarter than us in many ways. The only verses I can find that counter this theory of a possible leaven-free Israel are Leviticus 7:13, and 23, 17, and 18, where leavened bread is used respectively as a peace offering and for Shavuot. I mean, at Shavuot, we have to bring some leavened bread, don't we, to the altar. But I don't really want to talk about that. Let's go back to leaven is one thing, but certainly its spiritual equivalent of sin is something God wants us to remove from our lives, and he doesn't want us to just do it for 7 days, does he? How long does God want us to remove sin from our lives? Leolam va'ed, forever and ever. Most of us have understood for a long time that Israel was to have left its sin. Where did Israel leave its sin behind? In Egypt. To escape the bondage of the worldly pagan culture and venture into the wilderness to worship God and eventually establish their own free nation with the Torah as their constitution. But I hope through this and the confirmation of the Ruach that you can see a deeper and more complete picture of how sin comes in and infects our lives. when we completely remove ourselves from sinful thoughts and actions, the only way to get them to return to our lives is to come back into contact with people or places where sin is active. You don't need to go very far to find that. Just go out the door. Just as yeast only comes from other yeast, so sin, guess what? Only comes from other sin. And as with this yeast, it doesn't take much to leaven your whole previously pure lump, but it does take some. We must put ourselves back into unholy places or situations or have conversations with the wrong people to get that sin back active and growing in our lives again. How often have you been able to keep your thought life clean until you come into contact with some gossipy or contentious person? You know anybody like that? At work, maybe? Or maybe you have a vice beaten until you've seen one of those magazines behind the convenience store counter, or drive by a Budweiser billboard, or happen to be at a gathering where some people are partaking. Everything was going fine, but you happen to put yourself in a place, either accidentally or more often purposely, where there was leaven. And now it's in your lump. You're stuck with it. Maybe you thought a little leaven shouldn't leaven your lump. Just a little bit ain't going to hurt. A little dabble, do ya? But that just means you have forsaken the Word of God. Because do you not know a little leaven leavens the whole lump? According to 1 Corinthians 5:6. How much leaven do you need? Just a pinch. So why 7 days of unleavened bread? Well, consider this. Passover is an event. It's just an evening. The lamb dies, the blood is applied to the doorpost, we partake of the sacrifice, and we are spared from the plague of death. I'm a firstborn. That's a happy day for me. And so it is with our deliverance through Yeshua, the Lamb of Elohim. Our justification, just as if we never sinned, the first stage of our walk with Yeshua is a one-time event. We recognize that his sacrificial blood was shed for us as our only way to escape death. We apply it to our doorposts, and we are saved. Well, then what? Well, we're saved. What do we do now? Well, then we have to live our lives in him, until the time when our days within these mortal bodies are finished. The third step in our relationship with Messiah is glorification. But that doesn't happen until the resurrection, when we receive immortal souls and rule in God's kingdom. So what happens in between? There's a long time period. There's a gap. You ever go to that store called The Gap? This is the entire span of your life. From the day you get saved till the day you die or get taken up. It is the entire span of your life as a believer and a follower of Yeshua. It is called the period of sanctification. You are now living, hopefully all of you are, in the period of sanctification. It is during this time that through the instruction of Torah, and I want to tell you that Torah starts in the book of Bereshit. Some of you call it Genesis. And it goes all the way to Hagilu Natan Elohim, the revelation given of God, the book of Revelation. And it might even include the next book, Maps. And by the power of the inner workings of the Ruach HaKodesh, the set-apart spirits, that we become more and more set-apart unto God, more and more like Yeshua. And so we see this picture of our relationship with Yeshua in the seven-day feast of unleavened bread. According to Exodus 12:18, we are to begin eating only unleavened bread free from the moment we sit down to partake of the Passover. This speaks of God's expectation that from the very moment we accept Yeshua, he expects us no longer to partake of leaven. Leaven is gone. As soon as you've accepted Yeshua, you are leaven-free. Traditionally, leaven is removed 24 hours or more prior to eating the Passover. And this is certainly prudent, but it is not the biblical model. God requires us to have the leaven out by the time we sit down to eat the Passover, not before. So if you want to get rid of the leaven next Shabbat, go ahead. You got till sundown. I'll give you a dispensation. Is that what they call it? From the Pope guy? Okay, well, I'll do one of those. Yeah, I'll break with tradition and the rabbis, and they can sue me. And so if you want to get leaven out Saturday evening, go ahead. But I think you should do it before. So, where am I? We were there. Okay, considering the fact that due to the cooking time required to roast the lamb, we don't eat lamb anymore, the lamb sacrifice is killed and its blood is applied to the doorpost at least a couple hours before we're required to have the leaven out. Certainly in a slave's simple household, all the leaven should be cleaned out while the lamb is roasting. So if you're roasting a lamb, that you shouldn't be doing on Shabbat. What's the point, though, of all that? It is this. God does not expect us to lead a completely sinless life before the lamb is slain and its blood is applied to our doorpost. I mean, he doesn't expect you to predate your born-again experience. But he does so immediately thereafter. Without Yeshua, God knows that we don't have the means or the power to get the leaven out. But once the Lamb of God and the Ruach HaKodesh are allowed into our lives to do the job, God expects our life to be radically transformed. We are now to live as a pure lump. So what's the deal about 7 days? But not only that, but why are the first and seventh day called Shabbats? Consider this. Seven is a full cycle. It speaks of, it's a number of completion. 7 days of creation, 7 day week, 7 weeks of year whereby land is allowed to rest every seventh year. 7,000 years ordained for our world, completed by the millennial reign of Mashiach. Seven speaks of completion. It also speaks of perfection. And so also does seven speak of the complete period of time of our redeemed lives. So from our point of salvation or justification to our completion, perfection, glorification can be seen as a week. A week of redemption. During the entire period, we are expected to live an unleavened life, an existence free from the bondage and corruption of sin. On the first day after our salvation, there's a Shabbat. Hallelujah. And isn't the honeymoon period of our early salvation just that? After years of bondage to sin in the world, we're finally free. Oh, it's so exciting. Sure, it's an uncharted wilderness. But to be resting in God is so refreshing, you just don't have a care. How many of you have ever felt that way? And after all, the first day of having to eat only matzah, well, that's not so bad. Even Roger gets along with that. In fact, you wonder why you don't eat it more during the rest of the year. Why haven't I eaten this in, you know, February, right? You were talking to me 3 weeks ago. You were saying, how come we're not eating matzah right now? But then you enter that interim period. Oh, here comes the dog days. And oh, you're still required to continue the sanctification process. And you keep the leaven out. But it is still the time of unleavened bread. And let's face it, eating only matzah as your bread can get old real quick, right? Yep. How many ways can you cook this thing? It's not too long into day two or three. I mean, it's like almost immediate. Day two or three, people are going, what am I going to do? How am I going to get through this week? The term is used in Devarim 16:3. Bread of affliction takes on a very personal meaning to you. It is easy now to forget how bad Egypt was. Your wilderness is beginning to look pretty bleak. You know, and you want to go back to the leeks and the garlic and the bagels. Garlic bagels. And hey, just a question. But did any of you people happen to bring some yeast with you when you left Ramses? Because I figure if we mix yeast with some of this manna, yeah, to see this flatbread is getting tiresome, let's get some pita. A bagel, a nice challah bread would be awesome. We love challah bread, don't we? No, no. No one brought any leaven. What kind of people are you? Didn't any of you sneak any leaven into your pocket? Come on. Steve, you would do that. No, you wouldn't. I remember Moshe told us not to, Steve. But I just figured, well, we got plenty of money, though. All the Egyptians just gave us all their stuff, you know, but they didn't give us any of their leaven. What's wrong with them people? They leaven hoarders? Maybe some Bedouin traders will come by with their camels. And let me know if you see any, okay, John? Be on the lookout. And so on and on it goes. And we forget that where we came from, and we forget where we're going, you know? And somewhere in the middle of our week, we seek out leaven. The two best places in the world, I was told when I was being reassigned in the Air Force, was the main gate in the rearview mirror and the place I was going to. Wherever I was at was never any good. Just a little. Okay. And that 11-day journey from Sukkot to the Jordan River, well, guess what? It took 40 years. If we're lucky, that is, for many of us will die in the wilderness due to lack of belief. But if we can hold on through the week, day three, day four, day five, oh boy, how else can we eat this matzah? You have to watch Emerald's show on matzah. Through just a few more days to the end of, he doesn't have one, through the end of the sanctification process, another Shabbat awaits. The seventh day of the feast, the return of Yeshua and the millennial reign. That is a time of our glorification. Another Shabbat at the end of the 7 days. That's exciting. God never promised you that walking with Yeshua would be easy. He didn't say you were going to merrily skip down the yellow brick road, did he? You would trudge the road of happy destiny. In fact, we are guaranteed just the opposite of skipping down the yellow brick road. We're in Nebraska, not Kansas, by the way. But what he does promise is that we will go through this week as free men and free women. And when we get to the seventh day, we will understand that it was all worth it. It was worth it. Not only can life be lived without leaven, when you have the blood of the Yeshua and the power of the Ruach HaKodesh in your life, but a leaven-free life is pure and healthy and pleasing to Abba, which causes you to be blessed beyond all other peoples, Devarim 28, and enables you to be truly present yourselves to the Father as a spotless bride for His Son, which will be the ultimate pleasure when that day comes. But alas, we're just humans, and flesh, man, it dies hard. I struggle with flesh all the time. Just trying to be in this body is tough. Although God requires us to get rid of the leaven, He shows us grace by requiring us to try again, Pesach after Pesach, year after year, lovingly and patiently guiding us through the sanctification process once again. So take these 7 days and learn from them about what to do with the rest of the year, the other 51 weeks. Try it this year. You might like it. Try it. You'll like it. Yes, that we would permanently leave behind more sin than we did last year. Like all of it? This year, He wants us to find our ultimate satisfaction in Him. And do not desire to leave camp looking for someone with a little leaven to spare. Stay away from the leaven stand. And this process, guess what? It is a perpetual one from the time of our Passover justification until our seventh day glorification when we die or Mashiach comes back. As we labor through these interim days of sanctification, let us keep our minds remembering that God has delivered us from bondage, press forward to the mark of our higher calling, according to Philippians 3:1, and expectantly pray a slight modification of the prayer that my people have cried out joyfully in this season for thousands of years. Lashana Aha Ba'aba Yerushalayim. Next year in Jerusalem. Amen. In the New Jerusalem, huh? Amen. Amen. Thank you.